So I started out tonight acting like I was too cool for school, Henry. Oh, you know, I'm not that enthused about the 2024 election. I will be riveted to the screen tomorrow night, waiting for returns from Iowa. Because once a political nerd, always a political nerd. I will stay up too late. And I'll probably be tweeting about it, too, over at my X account, Matt Rooney NJ, if you're not already following. And then, of course, over at my website, SaveJersey.com, we'll probably be posting results. So what I'm telling you is that I'm a horrible hypocrite.
I just don't understand why anyone would want to watch.
Well, I mean, let me give you one argument.
Okay.
Right? The Eagles are going to be on around the same time we're getting results, so it'll distract me.
Okay.
From the Eagles, because tomorrow's only going to go one of two ways, right? Either the Eagles are going to surprise us somewhat by either being either mediocre or good,
mm-hmm.
right? In which case, all right, you know, whatever. I can allow my eye to wander. Or they're going to be miserable, in which case I need a distraction.
Okay. All right, so, that's fair.
Yeah. Just plan it in advance. Plan it all out so I don't go insane.
Yeah, I can't say I'll do the same. Because if I do watch it, I will go insane.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, that's how I feel about the birds. So we'll see what happens tomorrow as a new day dawns. But, you know, right now in 2024, one thing that's clear about the Iowa caucus is that everyone voting is an adult, right? Same thing in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a little bit different because in New Hampshire, they allow independents to participate. That's why Nikki Haley is performing so competitively. Oh, and by the way, I should say this before I continue. Major endorsement tonight for Nikki Haley in Iowa. Bill Kristol, who isn't even a Republican anymore. Yeah, former co-founder of the Weekly Standard turned major never-Trumper. He's online endorsing Nikki Haley.
Bill Kristol?
Bill Kristol. Yeah, see, the look you have on your face is the correct reaction to when I say Bill Kristol.
Like, when Harry met Sally?
No, not Billy Kristol. Billy Kristol would probably help. This is just Bill Kristol.
Yeah, I can't say I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah, not funny. Not nearly as talented as Billy Kristol. That's awesome that you mixed them up. That made me. I bet you more than one person.
How many people have that name?
No, it's look. I mean, for and you know, we joke about our ages all the time here. I don't mean this in a derogatory way. Like it's just so funny because you're 24. So like it's.
Well, who came first? Who established that name first?
I mean, they're probably about the same age. They're probably about the same age. But, I mean, Billy Crystal's obviously a bigger deal. Bill Kristol used to be a big deal in the conservative movement, but he's one of these folks that left the reservation during the Trump era. So it tells you all you need to know, going back to our conversation from the first half of tonight's program. You've got people like Bill Kristol coming out and agitating for Nikki Haley. Henry, you said it very well. You know, are they agitating for Nikki Haley because they really think that she is our best chance to beat Joe Biden? Are they agitating for Nikki Haley because of it, of what she believes, right, her policy prescriptions? No, this all boils down to they need a vessel to turn back the clock of time to the era before Donald Trump. That's what this is all about. And I'm not here saying that Nikki Haley may not have merits on certain issues, you know, but that's not why people are supporting her. So proceed with caution if you are considering her to be entrusted with your vote, because endorsements like Bill Kristol tell you all you need to know. But back to what I was talking about a minute ago, we know right now in this primary cycle, it's all adults that are participating. But there is a movement afoot, which I think that the Democrats want to take national. But right now it's restricted to a few blue cities, where they let 16 and 17-year-olds participate in elections. We've already heard of the moves and the calls and the efforts to make it so that illegal aliens can vote in school board elections. Well, these kids are legal citizens, but Newark, New Jersey, the most populous city in the state of New Jersey, voted this past week 9-0, the city council, to allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in school board elections beginning this April, in just a few months. Is it a good idea? Is it absolutely crazy? And as I've already alluded to, what is behind this latest effort to reshape not just the education system, but how our democratic system operates in this country? Let's talk to someone who's been a guest on this program a number of times before. She is vice president of the Middletown, New Jersey School Board. She is a fierce advocate for children and parents who want to get an education, not just in New Jersey, but in this country. She's a mom of four, and she brings common sense to her positions when it comes to the fate of our often besieged school system. She is Jacqueline Tobacco, and we welcome her back to the Matt Rooney Show. Jackie, Happy New Year. How are you?
Hey, Matt. Happy New Year. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, you know, but for the fact that every day I follow your X feed, and I feel and I feel as if I'm becoming more and more detached from reality, not because of what I believe, but because these school boards and these town councils and all these other bad actors in our education system are just concocting more crazy ideas, which don't really seem designed at all, at least as far as I'm concerned, to produce the best result. And I know you opined on the one that I just talked about when I was introducing you. Newark is now going to allow minors, 16-year-old kids, to vote in their school board elections. And I saw on X that you are not a fan of this idea. You think it's more than a little bit cuckoo. Here's your quote. Lowering the voting age to 16 for BOE elections is an attempt to change the societal structure of 18 is the accepted age of majority. Shall we lower the age of majority for parental rights, vaccines, consent? How about the military? Everybody good with 16? Kind of says it all, huh?
I mean, I was just mind blown at this whole thing. I mean, to start with, I don't think many people even realize that the city council controlled the voting age in Board of Ed. I don't. That took me a long time to do some research to figure that out.
So yeah, they went. They amended their ordinance. That's what they did. For anybody listening at home, scratching their head like you were.
Yeah. So that, you know, that was the first mind blowing thing. I mean, I had heard Murphy's State of the State address and heard that he had wanted a bill on his desk. That there was already one that's about to be refiled. But yeah, it's mind blowing. And you know, listen, as you know, and I've been on the show before to talk about it. As you know, we're in litigation with the state also regarding our transgender policy. And issues of parental rights. And this, to me, immediately struck a chord as, once again, we have a disparity in the age of majority in schools. And we are not only giving children rights that adults have in certain situations when it suits people in our school system, but we are also changing the power dynamic in a school system. And, you know, for me, the first thing I thought of was, and again, you know, I'll be completely honest, in Middletown, this represents or would have represented around 3,000 more potential votes for me personally as a Board of Ed member on my last election. And there's a power dynamic, and there is access to these children that incumbent BOE members have and that our teachers have. So now all of a sudden, as much as we fought to keep politics out of the classroom, we're literally bringing it right into the school building.
And you made another very good point when you were opining on this over on X. And I should say, for anyone interested, and you always speak for yourself. That's always the disclaimer,
I
right?
Do.
You're not speaking for the school board.
Yep.
Well, that's who you got your old pal Matt for. But you can follow Jackie at Jax, J-A-X 1331 over on X. You pointed out that it was just a few years ago, 2018, when Phil Murphy signed a bill outlawing child marriage. And let's be clear what we're talking about here for anybody who didn't follow this. We're talking about child marriage, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds who want to get married with the consent of a parent. So Phil Murphy doesn't think a 16-year-old or 17-year-old have the ability to get married and make that weighty decision. I think a lot of people would probably agree with him on that point, if not on almost any other point. But we're going to allow kids to exercise the most important power you have in a democratic system of government, which is to pick your elected leaders. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And the list goes on, right? I mean, you can't rent a car at 16. You only have a permit, if anything, a driver's permit in New Jersey at 16. Can't buy beer, can't join the military, to your point, can't purchase tobacco products or marijuana. You said something very important, Jackie, and maybe you can expound on it. It almost seems as if Phil Murphy doesn't have any coherent logic underpinning his decision-making. It all comes down to what's best for the Democratic Party, what's best for the left, whatever they think is going to get them the most votes.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think, you know, people have to understand as well that the only way that this is going to happen with lowering the voting age is to have mail-in ballots. So, you know, you just added how many thousands of voters in Newark to the Democratic rolls for Board of Ed. And when that goes well and they're able to say, you know, we had great voter turnout and we have engaged children and we need to lower the voting age for the general election, everyone's going to think it's a great idea. And we are never going to recover in conservative cities from this. You know, even though I feel like if we're going to go by the municipal municipalities having a vote, you know, it's very easy to say, okay, well, maybe Middletown will never do this, but if all of a sudden we're adding voters to the rolls, well, then we're all going to end up doing it. And what are we saying then? I mean, he literally I think it was this weekend, he just has a new law that children need to have 50 hours of driving experience behind the wheel with a parent before they're able to get their license. So right. In one case, he's putting more and more guardrails on it's like a nanny state for children on some issues, and on other issues, you're being treated like a complete adult. And you know, we have an age of majority for a reason. And in a school district, again, it's a conflict for how we deal with parents and their rights in schools as well, because we need parental permission and consent for so many things. And so you have an inconsistency where you're giving children the ability to say, well, you're treating me like an adult. I'm voting, right? I'm voting. But now I need my parents' permission to read a book or to watch a movie or to go on a field trip. I mean, this is the level that we're at, and it's just a pick and choose. There's no consistency in a school district with Phil Murphy at this point.
I also think that, you know, and Phil Murphy may not even be looking at it this way, but I think it's implicit in how this is being presented. They're treating school board elections as if they're unimportant elections. You and I both know part of the reason why they want kids to be able to vote in these elections is because they are beginning to recognize how critical controlling school boards are with the pushback in favor of parental rights we've seen in recent years. But, you know, why is this the first election that you would allow a child to participate in? It's arguably one of the most important, right? Your member of Congress in many ways affects your day-to-day life, especially in a state like New Jersey, less than your members of school board, whether it's school policy, obviously, or other things like property taxes, which school boards have a direct impact on. So I guess what I'm saying is it's almost in a roundabout way, this proposal kind of representative of a degrading attitude directed at school boards, as if somehow, oh, this is the acceptable starter election for kids to vote in. So if they mess it up, so be it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. And I think people are recently realizing how important the school board elections are. And you're right. I mean, to control the property taxes in the town based on your decisions and what, you know, what you're spending the money on is a big deal. And that will affect people way before anything that a congressman votes on. So it's just an interesting dichotomy. I'm not, and again, you know, many, many people reached out to me and said, you know, they think that this is a direct response to conservatives winning and becoming interested on running for school boards. And possibly, I mean, I don't pretend to know what is in Phil Murphy's mind when these things get done or in the Council of Newark, but it, you know, it was pushed by a social justice initiative. And you know, you have to wonder too, like, why are we pushing all this pressure on kids to become involved in something that affects them? You know, they keep saying, well, this affects their education, but we are also, as Board of Ed members, we have influence over these kids. And I mentioned too on my X account that we are the ones who make final judgments on HIBs, harassment, intimidation, and bullying cases, which gives you a certain measure of a power dynamic over a potential voter. And that's a permanent record on a child's record, educational record. So there's things that just concern me. Like, why would we put any child in that position? Or, you know, we help advocate for IEP children. And so we, you know, we're in constant, you know, negotiations or in due process with parents over IEPs and issues like that.
Right.
So it's just an interesting, it's a very direct conflict. I feel like for me personally, I think it's a really, you know, I'm the person who's handing out awards to these kids and going to their basketball games and their football games and their plays and their band concerts. And all of a sudden to look at it like, I mean, obviously it's a different case when it's adults. Yes. You get it when you're out in public and these are your, this is your voting demographic. But for kids, I think it just pollutes the relationship a lot. So I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan of any of this. I don't know why it's necessary.
Well, it's also, you know, a poor substitute for actually helping kids understand the system in which they're going to participate eventually as adults, right? Because Phil Murphy is presenting this as, oh, a way to engage kids in democracy is to get them involved directly in democracy as soon as possible. Well, how about you teach them something about their republic? I found an Annenberg University survey. Annenberg's over in Pennsylvania, for those who don't mm-hmm. know, where they looked at American adults with at least some high school education, right? So these are, for all intents and purposes, high school educated kids, the 16 and 17 year olds that would be voting in these elections, and ask them questions about their government and how it functions. And, you know, some of the results are not going to surprise you at all, Jackie. And I know they didn't surprise me. They depressed me. Here's some of the highlights. Less than 50% could name all three branches of government. The number of respondents that could unprompted name each of the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment, 1 in 4. Only 24%, for example, could name freedom of religion as being implicated by the First Amendment. Over 50% incorrectly asserted that Facebook was required to let all Americans express themselves freely. Regardless of whether we think they should, they didn't understand the distinction between the public square and the private square, and the fact that Facebook is a private company, and the First Amendment largely restricts the government, right? It's just, and it goes on from there. Absolutely stunning numbers, but not a surprise to anyone that's been watching the way our public discourse has been going in recent years. These kids are not ready. We should be focusing on teaching them about their country before they take the reins of their country.
No, I agree. And, you know, it's a very easy fix if anybody really had an authentic agenda towards getting kids civically engaged. It's a very easy fix. They are, the entire administration is very willing to add on to the learning standards. We have new learning standards for Greek education. We have new learning standards for the sex and health ed education. But this is a very easy fix. Make some new standards for civic education. And, you know, we have in Middletown, I can just tell you, we try very hard to give the kids a say. We have school forums with our superintendent to let the kids have a voice and to kind of vote or advocate for things that matter to them. But we're talking about things like seniors being able to go out and get their lunch at lunchtime. We're not talking about being able to manage or vote on, you know, a $180 million budget. I mean, it's like no baby steps. They went right from 0 to 100 on civic engagement and making children adults in school systems. And it's disturbing.
I think it's the story of our time, right? It really, I think, encapsulates a lot of what you deal with as a school board member. And by the way, we're speaking to Jacqueline Tobacco, who's vice president of the Middletown Board of Education. You know, adults in this country don't have enough rights, and kids, they're trying to give them too many. Right? Parents should be empowered. Adults should be empowered. Property taxpayers should be empowered to have the prime lead role in how their locality, their state, their nation is run. But kids, we don't do enough to protect them and to teach them. We use them as political tools. And I think that's what's most disturbing about all this at the end of the day, Jackie, that this is an effort to manipulate children and to use them to bring about a political end. They're not actually educating them. They want to use them once again to perpetrate their political agenda. And we, as ever, appreciate you being one of the good ones that's willing to speak out against it. And for anybody that wants to follow Jackie, if you like what you hear, and we suspect you do, you can find her over on X at Jax, J-A-X, 1331. That's Jax 1331 over on X. You can follow along not just to see what's going on in Middletown, where Phil Murphy's mansion sits, which it's lovely that Phil Murphy's mansion is in a red town where where the local government and the school board is constantly pushing for the right kind of common sense agendas that run contrary to his own. But she's always opining on things that are happening at the state and national level and really giving some good local common sense perspective. So we always appreciate what you do, and we know you won't be a stranger. We won't let you be a stranger, but definitely come back soon because I have a feeling this is going to be another busy year.
I think so. Thank you so much, Ben. I really appreciate it, and I love to be able to converse with you about all kinds of different subjects. I really do appreciate it.
The feeling is mutual. Sometimes I wish we had less to talk about because that would mean the world was more sane, but these are not the times in which we live. Be well, my friend. Jacqueline Tobacco, everyone. Vice President of the Middletown, New Jersey Board of Education.